Welcome to the Writer's Wall Podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Jay. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Want to know why?
Of course.
I got air conditioning.
Really?
Yes! In the house!
Wow.
In the house. I got it on the 4th of July. It's a real Independence Day for me. And it's actually not working as great as I think it should. Like, it's really struggling to keep the house cool. So I've actually got to call out to the guy who installed it. But yeah.
Nice.
So I will be complaining less.
Now, is it like a standalone unit, or did you have to have it installed? Or
it's installed, like the big thing out on the concrete pad and ducting all through. We already had the ducting for the furnace, so we just connected to that. But yeah.
Wow.
On Saturday it was hot, and I was just walking around the house going, I'm a little chilly. It was so good. I think this is going to be life changing. And you know, because for so long I worked here at home for the last 4 years, but I'd always go out to a cafe when it got hot. But now that Lala and I are stuck in here, we cannot have it be 85, 90 degrees in the office. No, screw that.
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
I'm laughing because this is the time of the year where I turn the tables on Zach, because like in February, and I'm complaining about how cold it is, and he's in Nashville, and now I'm like, yeah, we might have to turn our AC on for the first time today. He's like, shut up. I'm like, it might hit 90. He's like, yeah, it's been 90 like forever here.
Oh, it's so yuck. Oh my gosh. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Now, how about you? What's new in your world?
Well, I have a... I have a new podcast.
Shut up.
Okay, but I'm not going to talk a lot about it here because Zach and I talk a lot about it tomorrow on this week's episode of the Career Author Podcast. But this has been a passion project I've been working on for like over a year. It involves one of my former bandmates and my son. And it is not at all business related. It is a total passion project.
Oh, I love it.
But it's called Consequences of Rock. And it is a podcast about finding specific moments in rock and roll history that changed everything. So we kind of drilled down to very specific events. And we did 5 episodes and 5 after show episodes. So it kind of comes out of the gate with 10 episodes. And like I said, I'll talk more about, if people want to hear more about it on the Career Author, but I'll put the link in the show notes for this episode. It's just called consequencesofrock.com.
That's a great name, and I love that it is so specific to your particular nerdery.
Yes.
Like, this is something you could talk about forever. I like that you're not going to be able to easily monetize it into a
not
book
even trying
anything like that. I just love that.
Yeah.
We have to have those things.
Yes.
This week I went on my first open water swim.
I heard you were in the bay.
Can't monetize that. It's just out in the bay in my wetsuit, which felt fantastic.
Nice. So, is that a scheduled thing, or is it just whenever you do it?
It's whenever you do it. I'm not confident enough to go out by myself yet. Yeah. I might never be, but this one company goes out 3 times a week, so I can go with them.
Oh, cool.
And it's basically the cost of a yoga class, and then you're supported by boats and kayaks. I went with my friend. She'll go with me again. You know, so as long as somebody else is out there, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Woo! It sounded awesome.
Yay. Here is to have doing things that aren't all about work or writing. Or
absolutely.
Writing is your work, than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, speaking of work, we have at least one new patron. We have one new patron, and her name is Emma Desi. So that's a very pretty name. Emma, thank you so much.
Yes,
from
thank you.
Us. I just sent Jay his monthly, his June Patreon money. And it's always so fun to do that. And this week, I would also like to thank, as we do, Stephanie Bond. Where did my page go? Darn it, did I close it? Anyway, Stephanie Bond, stephaniebond.com. Go to the daily tips for writers. I was just looking at tip number 187, which is about the green-eyed monster and how we have to compare ourselves to other people. We have to compare ourselves to other writers, looking at rank and sales and story, but we also have to not cross that line of getting jealous of what they have. And she was asking, where does that come up in your life? So please go look at our fantastic Stephanie Bond's writer tip page.
Well, I'm so glad it's not about a killing, because my extensive knowledge comes from 90s rock and rap songs, and I heard 187 a lot in those. So,
dude, I heard 187 a lot in my police career, like to the point where I saw that on her page and I'm like, okay, it's got to get to tomorrow. Cause if I say 187 on the show and then I end up murdered, same thing. Like when I'm reading a book, I will not stop a book on page 187. I read until page 188. I am superstitious about that number, but then you start thinking about all the other bad numbers, 245, 215, 261. So I try to avoid a lot of numbers actually.
So, and how funny I bring it up like out of the blue. Sorry.
When it hits a number 188, Stephanie, I'll be very happy. I'll go look at it tomorrow.
Well, good. Well,
meanwhile, I'll try not to get murdered.
Good. Because our comments are for episode 182, not 187.
Oh, maybe we'll just skip 186.
Like they do the 13th floor. We'll just go from 186 to 188.
Exactly. I think I may be up to that in my own podcast. Oh, no. Anyway.
Well, the episode last week, 182, the question is, what things in writing are out of your control? And I must give apologies to the early commenters. I just realized I wasn't getting notifications and I came in late and I missed a whole bunch.
I wondered where you were because you always respond to the early people and I never do. I respond late.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like I was the only one that cared this week. And I
That's
love
right.
It.
I hate all you. Like Rachel that. Loves you.
Chris, of course, got in first, except for SA was trying to get in first.
Yes. Yeah. Steven didn't beat him to it. But, you know, you got to get up really early to beat Chris.
Yeah.
But Chris said the most important thing is to make sure to have a hand in the game, which means keep on writing and publishing.
Amen.
That kind of sums it up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. SA said, you know, we do have control of most of things as an indie. That's good and bad. That's certainly true. You get the best and worst.
Mm-hmm. But for a control freak, it feels good.
Yep.
To have that control. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom H. I think I know which Tom this is. I won't say just in case, but Tom said that he leaves a narrow sliver of time for writing that he can control, but he doesn't always do it effectively. And apparently he's got some business debt that he's trying to work through. So, Tom, I think I know who you are and what you're going through. Good luck, man. And I hope you come out the other side on that because yes. It sounds like he needs some more time to write too.
Yes. And good job working on that debt. It's crucial. Yep. Crucial for somebody who wants to be a full-time writer.
Definitely. Yeah. Kim. Now, Kim is going to love Consequences of Rock. I guarantee you she's going to love that podcast. Because every time I make a reference to music, Kim's like, I saw them. I saw them here. And I'm like, dang, you know?
And she had a crush on the lead guitarist, Warren DeMartini of Rat.
Yes.
Oh, well, like probably 1% of our listeners could have told you who the lead guitarist, the lead guitarist was. Maybe fewer.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But she did say she actually finds great solace in the randomness of the world. And she likes that so many things are left up to chance. It's freeing. That's a great way of looking at it. That's a very different perspective. I like that. Oh, our girl Stephanie chimed in.
Yeah,
she said she wants you to adapt the Serenity Prayer to apply to writers.
Which I have done. I did it last semester for my class when COVID started because they were struggling so much. And I love this prayer and I'm going to share it right now.
Yeah, do it.
It is not, you can use this as a secular prayer. No God involved. I have a problem with God anyway. We're not even going to go down that road. But so instead of saying God, I say the word please because I'm just praying to whatever's out there. Here it is. This is the writer Serenity Prayer. Please grant me the serenity to accept it when I cannot write, the courage to write when I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Because there are just some times that we can't write, and we do have to give ourselves grace and kindness when that happens. But also, we need to have the courage to write when we can, and when our brain is saying, no, just a little bit more Netflix. No, you can write right now. You're not having a terrible day. You're just being a little bit lazy right now. So get up off your ass and do some writing. So
nice.
That's the Serenity Prayer.
Lovely. Lovely. Edwin quoted a different podcast and he said, the paradox of success is that you can do everything right and still fail, but you guarantee failure if you do nothing.
Amen. Again.
Yep. Yeah. Anne-Marie chimed in and this is where I started getting notifications, which is weird. Thanks Anne-Marie. And Jasmine, is in Belgium. So she said, we both don't join her on her walks, but on her bicycle rides to and from work.
Or in somebody's ears in Belgium as they bicycle to work. Thank you, Jasmine.
Yes, very much so.
Cool.
And Jenny kind of had her own little version of serenity prayer there, I think. She talked about the things she can't control and the things that she can control. So that's that was wonderful. So yeah, that's it. Thanks to everyone who commented. Always grateful to see your voices in there, and we'll continue to do a better job of monitoring the notifications.
As long as we get there at some point in the week, I think we get credit. Yeah. That's how I establish it anyway. Yay. Any other new business from you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so on my end either. So you've got a question for me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I do. It's totally loaded.
Yeah. Oh,
you'll understand why. It's a totally loaded question, but it's going to be good. I promise.
Okay.
All right. Here's the question. How do you make your character voices distinct?
I was just thinking about that this week. This is such a good question for so many people to think about and to hear. So I make my character voices distinct, not one bit in a first draft.
Okay.
I do not worry about it ever in a first draft, because I feel like I'm good with character and I'm less good with plot and with action that is happening. So in a first draft, I'm really using all of my brain cells to manage these characters inside this plot. And that's all I can do. And all the characters end up sounding the same, which is a little bit snarky, a little quirky, oftentimes kind. And then I have to go back and in a revision, figure out, well, who are these people really? So for me, in my big second draft, so I'm taking it from the shitty first draft to, I'm doing the first revision on it. That's when I really start thinking about it. So I love that you asked this. I have such a specific answer.
Yeah, this is great.
In that, when I walk into that, I make sure that I have the character arcs really nailed for each major character that I'm dealing with who has a point of view, because that's what we're talking about. I am talking about the point of view characters, but this also goes for dialogue. You need to know who they are, where they're going, what they're doing. And then I go through the book as I'm doing this revision and I try to put it a little bit more in their voice. But again, I don't always get it that right. And sometimes I save this for a pass after I've done, you know, three or four drafts, then I'll do a character voice pass. One of the easiest tips to apply is to look at what your character actually does for a living and what, or how they think. And I always use the example of, you know, one time I wrote this sailor, and when he's rocked to his core by something that happens, when we're in his point of view, he doesn't say, you know, I was shocked. He says, I felt the floorboards move underneath my feet as if I were at sea, or something like that. So you use their particular dialect from their job or from their sensibility. And a lot of times I'll make a list of all those words. So if I've got a sailor, I'll just do a freeform, what do they call those? Like the mind map, where you just draw all the words that you can think of that apply to sailing, or that apply to cupcake making, or that apply to whatever your character is doing or running from. And then in terms of dialogue, I'll also go through and amp some things up, like a quirky character. I'll make their dialogue a little bit more quirky. The laconic character, I'll make him draw a little slower in the book. But it's definitely something for me that I leave for revision, because I don't even think I know the characters well enough when I'm writing a first draft to keep their voices separate. So I just don't worry about it. What else do I do with them? I think that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I wish that I would actually read it out loud to myself, but I don't. Do you ever do that?
No. I'm terrible at that. I know I should too, but I don't.
I know I should. And then I would hear more.
Yeah.
But what about you? How do you do it?
Well, here's what, this is a loaded question.
Oh.
I've been working with Jeff Elkins, and oh my goodness, guys.
And you know how we know Jeff is through this podcast.
Yes. Because
he is a longtime commenter and friend.
Yes.
From this show that we found. So a little birdie who might be named Jay Thorne told me that Jeff might be working on something. So
yeah, Jeff is going to have a service that can knock everyone's socks off. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. And so I've been working with him specifically on dialogue, and I never even thought about dialogue before I started working with Jeff.
So you're really thinking about dialogue and not the point of view voice of the narrator.
Right. This. Yes. Mostly dialogue.
Yeah.
And one of the things that JD challenged me to do in the latest manuscript we're working on is to write a dialogue only first draft, which was so far out of what my normal process would be that I really didn't know what to do because I never focused on character. And so I had to make notes. I had to create these characters. I had to learn enough about them that I could start speaking like them. And what Jeff has helped me to do is get rid of my mono mouth. So in my books, yeah, my characters all have mono mouth. They all sound the same. And one of the things that JD challenged me, he said, listen, the reason I want you to write a dialogue only first draft is I want to be able to tell who's speaking without setisms or dialogue tags. Like that's how distinct your characters have to be because that's what readers want to connect with. They want to connect with that real person.
Always been my goal. And it's such a hard thing to do.
So yeah, it is hard. But here's the thing. So Jeff has been helping me out from day one. And early on, as you can expect, all of my characters sounded the same. And then as he worked with me and made suggestions and pointed things out, now as we're approaching the end of the first draft and it's all dialogue, I have no description, no narrative.
Oh my gosh.
And I can completely inhabit a character and now mentally I have the switch in my head that goes, oh, I'm writing Lynn right now and I know how Lynn talks versus how Brett talks. And it's nuts. So I wanted to share some specifics, and I don't want to steal Jeff's thunder.
But you guys
are going to be blown away by what he's doing.
This is kind of like when somebody writes a book and comes on a podcast and talks a little bit about it. Then you have to get the book because you need more. You know.
Yeah. So these are just some of the notes I've taken that Jeff has given me that's helped tremendously. So the first thing he said is, these are phrases, questions. How do they react in times of extreme stress or happiness? So you can have different people react in different ways and their voices need to reflect that. He said, overall, generally speaking, when we're anxious, we focus on ourselves. So in dialogue, when you're in a group and there's a stressful situation, people always start talking about themselves. That's a natural inclination.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Right. He said that, you get three in those stressful moments, you either freeze, fight or flight. Yeah. So what he had me do is kind of create, I think he called it a wheel. It's almost like a personality diagram. And what I did for each character is, okay, here's Brett. Here's how he reacts when he's slightly annoyed, very annoyed, extremely stressed out. Here's how he reacts when he's kind of happy, somewhat happy, really happy. And then I make those different for every characters so that when those times come, those characters are different, right?
Because when we are in the heat of the moment writing a book, when my characters get really happy, I have not thought that out. And they always do what I do when I get happy.
Right.
And they always, when they're anxious, they do what I do because I'm not really being that creative and thinking about that. This is insane.
Yeah. A few of the other questions. So regarding those times of stress or happiness, he says, you know, how does their speech change during those times? So if you determine that you have a character who's really chatty when she's like happy but then she sort of shuts down, like you need to know that. So when she is in a scene where there's extreme stress, she's not chattering away, but there might be another character who does, who's like very quiet, but then as they get more nervous, they get more talkative. And these are just things I've never even considered.
I've never considered. Also, let's point out that everybody should have scenes where your characters are stressed or anxious. Nobody should be listening to this and saying, well, my characters don't get stressed. They should.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You don't have a story if they don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Another question is, how does the character feel right now? So I've been writing that at the top of my scenes, just emotionally, you know, what is their state of mind right now? And that helps me to get into the scene. Something like what you mentioned, what words, phrases, or slang does the character always use? So I have one woman who's a character and she's British. And so I have a list of sort of slangs and words that the British say that Americans don't. And so I can use those specifically for her. I don't have to be an expert linguist, but I just need to know a few of those. And so that would immediately signify to the reader who's talking.
Perfect. I had a character once who only swore using female country artist names.
Yes.
So she'd be walking around, well, God, sweet Dolly Parton.
Yes.
You know, just like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the last one I wrote down was, how many words does the character use compared to the other characters? So this is another thing I had with Mono Mouth. I just wrote every character's voice the same number of words, mostly my voice. And so I have one character who I don't think has spoken more than 7 words in a sentence the entire novel, because that's her. That's how she operates. That's how she speaks.
Yeah. And we know people like that.
Absolutely.
People. Oh, this is so good. Yep. So I did not know you were going to talk about Jeff and his service. Does he have a service? Like,
not yet.
Okay.
He's
close. My gosh. You just ramped everybody up to,
I know,
this.
I'm building suspense. I'm building anticipation. Jeff's been helping me with dialogue, and I've been helping him kind of get this service off the ground. And we're probably only a few weeks away from at least getting something up, you know, an MVP, something small. And he's been doing a few.
What's the MVP?
MVP, minimal viable product.
That's right.
The most basic thing. And he's been doing, I think he's got a podcast in the works. And he's been working with a few people kind of behind the scenes just to kind of get a sense of what that relationship would look like between him and a writer and how he can help people. So it's going to be soonish. And I know he's really excited to get it out there. And once everything is ready to go, I will absolutely let people know. But I wanted to kind of tease a little bit because I've said this to him privately and publicly. You know, what he's teaching me is fundamentally changing the way I'm writing in such a good way. And I feel like for me, it was the missing link. Like I always felt like I had description, I'm pretty good with pacing and with word choice and that sort of stuff. And it was dialogue that I wasn't necessarily bad at, but I just didn't put in the same level of intent. And now that I am, it's just transformative.
Dude, I feel like I just learned so much from the 5 minutes you were talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the problem with being in this level of revision that I'm at right now, which is making the book as good as I can before letting it go forever, is now I would like to go through my book in the next 2 weeks that I have left and like do this to their voices, to, you know, really look at them. It's a hard thing to do. What a great question.
It really is. And what's crazy now is that I forget, we've done 40 some scenes now, and there's probably got 15 to 20 left. But at this point, I've completely inherited the voices. Like the changes that he's making now are like word choice, or he's tweaking it, or he's having a little bit of fun with it, or he's catching something. Whereas early on, he was kind of helping me shape these characters' voices. But I've got them now, and I feel so good because like now I know how to do it. I can take this skill and I can apply it to other projects now that I know. I don't know. It just felt like a whole world opened up to me that I really wasn't even paying attention to before.
Also, let's go back to the original suggestion of writing it all in dialogue first. Like that is the best outline you could possibly have for a book, because then you know it works emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you writing plot though? Like just they're reacting to things and.
Well, I had, I'm writing it more like a play.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a few lines that just says, you know,
like scene direction.
Yeah. Brett and Claire walk into the room and sit down on the couch.
Yeah.
But I don't get into any of the, like they're feeling this or internal dialogue, none of that. It's just sort of blocking the movements throughout the scene and then just dialogue.
I want to write a book like that and then have Jeff fix my dialogue. That would be great.
Well, that's
Jeff,
one of the things.
Jeff, that's the service I want.
I mean, that's one of the things, you know, he's trying to figure out is like, what does he offer? You know, like, if you already had a book written and then you learned how to do this, you'd have to revise the entire book, where maybe if you get a few sessions early on and you kind of develop those voices, then you don't have to, you know, rewrite. I don't know.
I'm sorry, Jeff, that we're just like taking over your business now, but what about a course? That is a course that I would sign up for, and I don't do many courses.
Yeah. He's, everything's on the table right now.
I told him,
I'm like, you know, be prepared. I think he's going to get way more business than he can possibly handle.
I hope so. That would be awesome.
I hope so too. But like just seeing what he's been able to do and talking to a few of the people I know he's worked with, they were just like, oh my gosh, it was so helpful.
I want to be able to inhabit my characters like you seem like you are right now.
Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but like, this is what Jeff does all day long.
Oh, that's, isn't it part of his business?
Yeah. Something? He writes dialogue for like computer programs, and like call centers, and it's not AI, but he has to write like authentic dialogue for like computerized interaction. So it has to sound real and authentic. And he's, you know, he's been doing this for years. He's one of only a few people who do this at a number of companies in the entire world. So this isn't just like, oh yeah, he's good at dialogue because he likes dialogue. This is his thing.
Profession.
Yeah.
That's cool. Jeff, I hope that we love that. I hope you love, we just sold your whole thing.
I don't want to embarrass someone. I hope I'm not stealing this thunder, but like
I want this course.
Oh my goodness. You know, as I'm getting to the end of this manuscript and just like, I still have a lot of work to do and I have to go back and write all the plot, like all the narrative, but like, I don't have any question now about the characters and them being relatable and them being unique compared to each other. Like that's not a problem I'm going to have in this revision.
Sorry, my phone. So rude. I have like stars in my eyes. I want that. I really do. All right. So what are you going to ask the listeners?
So yeah, we'd love to know, how do you make your characters' voices distinct? And it can be high level stuff. You have very specific tactics, anything you want to share, we'll take it.
Also, and because Jeff is a part of the Writers Well community, if you want to tell Jeff what you want.
Yes.
I mean, might as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it will help. Like, you know, getting that information before you build something is extremely helpful. So if anyone wants to give him some requests about things he can offer, I'm sure he would be listening.
Thank you, Jay. That was a really, really good question.
Good. It was a lot of fun.
And I wish you happy writing.
You too. Bye.
Bye.